ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام
أبو
عليكم.
عامر، أمين إياكم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، book on these days is الأدب المفرد by أمير المؤمنين في الحديث الإمام محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله أبو عبد الله. We are on Babu Da'awat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter about the dua of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the various expressions of dua from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we have said repeatedly, this chapter shows that from the biggest of those who were involved in ibadah was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was why when Allah took him on al-Isra, Allah mentioned that exalted status of worship and ascribed it to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, Subhanalladhi Asra bi abdihi. The praises and thanks and distance from error, all of that absolutely belong to Allah. Subhanalladhi is Allah, who is far from error, who is absolutely apt and appropriate, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the absolute sense. He is the one who asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. He was the one who took his servant. In this verse, Allah referred to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam as abduhu. So he said, asra bi abdihi. Allah made his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he called him my servant, abduhu, the servant of Allah. So from the biggest of the means by which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave servitude to Allah was his muchly making dua. If you want Allah to love you, call upon him, make dua. The Prophet made a lot of dua sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari compiled some of those expressions as a huge chapter heading. Under this chapter heading alone, we have 23 ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam telling us he would always make dua like this, he will always make dua like this. The second major lesson, ikhwa, is let us learn these expressions, these da'awats, these expressions of calling upon Allah, and let us teach our children how to call upon Allah using those same expressions that the Prophet used, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwa, there's a lot of benefit in it. Use those same expressions. Inshallah, you will get those same results. From the means of getting good results, of course, is doing it in the way the best of the people did it. The closer you are, the better for you. So let us teach our children. Ikhwa, teach your children dua. I always ever repeat, teach them dua, and the dua to teach them are these dua from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How does it sound? that you have a son, you have a child, you have a daughter, when she has to make dua, or when he has to make dua, this child begins to say, Salatu ala Nabi, and then he begins to say, Allahumma ghfirli ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu, wa ma asrartu wa ma alamtu, wa ma anta alamu bihi minni, innaka anta al-muqaddimu wal-muakhiru, la ilaha illa ant. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-sharri la yakhlituhu shay'un. Allahumma tahhirni bil-thalji wal-barad. How does it sound? All of these expressions have come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are certain that those expressions, they are expressions of goodness, they are expressions of rightness. In fact, when you make that dua like that, using those same expressions, you get two rewards. The first reward for what you are asking for. The second reward of following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In hadith number 678, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said, Haddathana Musa. قال حدثنا حماد يعني ابن سلمة عن إسحاق ابن عبد الله ابن أبي طلحة عن سعيد ابن يسار عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة وأعوذ بك أن أظلم أو أظلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة وأعوذ بك من وأعوذ بك أن أظلم أو أظلم. This hadith has come from one Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, from whom he reported a lot of ahadith, both in As-Sahih and his other books like Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That was Imam Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki. Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. So he said, Haddathana Musa, as if to say, you know the Musa that I mean. That's my Shaykh ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki, rahimahullah al-Basri, Abu Salama. He said, Haddathana Hammad. That is, يعني, Ibn Salama, because in this tabaqa there are Hammadan, Hammad ibn Salama, who has reported this hadith, Abu Salama al-Basri. He is Hammad ibn Salama ibn Dinar. We have an Imam Hammad ibn Zayd ibn Dirham. So you can see the similarity. Hammad ibn Salama ibn Dinar. He is Hammad ibn Zayd ibn Dirham. And they were from two great scholars amongst the scholars of Hadith and Sunnah. Hammad ibn Salama was known for Ibadah. He was always upon Ibadah. Al-Imam ibn Hibban said, Kana min al-Ubbad. Kana Hammadu min al Ubbad. Hammad ibn Salama was well known from the ardent worshippers, Ibadah, people of devotion to Ibadah, Al-Mujabin al-Da'wah, those who, when they call upon Allah, Allah accepts their dua. One of them was Hammad ibn Salama, rahimahullah, is the Shaykh of the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari, Musa ibn Ismail. At-Tabuzaki, his own sheikh in this isnad, is Hammad ibn Salama ibn Dinar al-Basri, Abu Salama. He is reporting from his Sheikh Ishaq ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Talha, Ishaq ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Talha, reported from the Tabi'i, Sa'id ibn Yasar. And Sa'id ibn Yasar collected the hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Ikhwa, this is what the scholars of hadith refer to as isnad. So we know where the statement has come from. Who heard it from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Huraira? Who collected it from Abu Huraira, Sa'id ibn Yasar? They are well-known trustworthy reporters. Their trustworthiness comes from two angles, from the angles of their deen. If the individual is known to be trustworthy from the aspects of his deen, the implication as far as his reports are concerned is that he would not tell a lie and ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So that guarantees that the report is preserved. The second aspect of their trustworthiness is their ability to retain what they have heard, their dhabt. And this dhabt, they are retaining and preserving their reports. It occurs from two major angles. The scholars will say dhabtul kitab. Some of the people, whenever they heard a report, they wrote it down. Just like we write down lessons. As the teacher spoke, they documented what the teacher said. So when Abu Huraira said, Sami'tu Rasulallah, aw kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yad'u Sa'id ibn Yasar, from the things the scholars of hadith did was to write down that I heard from Abu Huraira, and then he writes down that hadith. The second aspect of their dhabt, of their preserving the report, is to memorize that report. Some of them, as they said it, they committed it to memory. And that was something that was well known in the early days of Islam. Committing information to memory perfectly. Perfect commitment of information into memory. In fact, in the earlier days, it used to be considered as a thing of insult for somebody to be writing something down. The people of eminence, once they heard it, they memorized it. We still have people like that till today. Once they hear, they have memorized it. The memory was so, so powerful at the time. They committed everything to the mind. So these were the two ways. They wrote down the ahadith and they memorized them. Some of the scholars combined between the two. People like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and long before him, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira used to write down whatever he heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he would wake up in the middle of the night to commit them to his memory. The same thing happened with Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. These people had a lot of documentation from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. From those who wrote down a lot of report from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. They wrote it down and they committed them to memory. For some others, they only wrote it down and preserved the document where they had written them down. The various kinds of scrolls they employed at the time, they were preserved. In fact, the scrolls where Abu Huraira and the documentation that he used to write down were transferred to his student directly. And it is well known today as Sahifa to Abi Huraira. The Sahifa, the documentation that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wrote down, he heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this religion has been transmitted from one generation to the other, from one sheikh to the next person. That sheikh heard, he wrote down, he transferred to his student. The student wrote down, he memorized, he transferred to the next student. And that's why one of the things that breaks a hadith and makes it weak is that in Kippur, when there is a breakage, we can't link the student and the sheikh. There's a break in the transmission. We say the isnad is munqati and the hadith is daif. What does that mean? We cannot absolutely ascribe it and say Prophet said so. So it's a clear-cut, distinct science to determine the authenticity and verify whatever was ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you hear the scholars say isnaduhu sahih, what they are saying is that all of these have been verified, and we are certain that this statement has come from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, if we have a reporter, as we shall see in the next hadith, if we have a reporter whose ability to preserve the reports was doubtful, it will be mentioned. It will be mentioned, as we shall see in the next hadith, the hadith of Laysun ibn Abi Sulaym. He was a well-known, very full of worship. So in terms of his deen, he was a person of trustworthiness. But in terms of his ability to duly preserve his reports, there are doubts regarding it. So the hadith of Lays ibn Abi Sulaym are usually graded weak, because he was weak in terms of preserving reports, even though he was trustworthy in terms of preserving, in terms of preserving his deen. Some people failed in both angles. Their deen was bad, and their preserving ahadith was also bad. May Allah protect us. All of these are known and clearly documented by the scholars of hadith. Rahimahumullah. Here in this report, Sa'id ibn Yasar said, An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, he reports it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Kana an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kana yaqul. This expression shows that it was something he was saying. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would say. It is not as if he said one day, call, no, Kana yaqul. He would say it. It was something that he commonly said. He would always hear it from him. And don't forget that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu spent about 3 whole years. He was not going anywhere. He was in mulazamatun tammatun bi rasulillah alayhi salatu wasalam. His talk, he was with in the companionship of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam since the day he arrived from Yemen to Medina. He was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the Prophet passed away. He was not even used to going to the markets like the rest of the companions to buy and sell. He was in the masjid paying attention to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, documenting the deen from him, asking him questions, joining them in the gatherings whenever visitors came to the Prophet, hearing and writing down, memorizing, preserving the ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So if he said Kana an-Nabiyyu yaqul, he is in the position to say it. The Prophet always said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-killati wal-dhilla. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-killati wal-dhilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri والقلة والذلة. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلتي والذلة. The dua is that the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma, O my Lord Allahu, O Allah, inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri. I ask you protection from al-faqru. I ask your refuge away from al-faqru, poverty. When the individual becomes poor, he does not have food, no clothes, no housing, nothing. This is the first aspect of al-faqr. He has nothing. May Allah protect us from this condition. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri. Then the second aspect of al-faqr is faqrul qalb. When the individual is inside his mind, he is poor. How? He has qalbun harithun ala jam'il mal. He has a soul that is just all that concerns it is gathering money. He never ever feels any sort of sufficiency. He's always ever feeling that he needs. He has a house. He has a ride. He has a family. They eat well. They sleep well. They drink well. Yet, he runs about as if Allah has not done anything to him. Because he does not have sufficiency inside his mind. No contentment. This is what many of the scholars have explained regarding this hadith. Oh Allah, don't make me somebody who is never sufficed. Nothing suffices him or her. You have a wife, you have a husband. They are never sufficed. Always ever thinking about gathering money. Harisun ala jam'il mal qalbun. A mind that is just insufficiency. So the race is ala jam'il mal. All that concerns that heart. Let me just gather. Let me gather. Let me gather. Let me gather. Let me gather. Unfortunately, this race makes them become oblivious about the deen. So he will be gathering, racing after halal. Later, he joins the two. Halal and haram, join the two. This is faqru. The person has faqrul qalb. Inside his mind, he has poverty inside it. So with all that he has, he will never look at it one day and say, Alhamdulillah. No, he has not just gotten anything. May Allah forgive us. So he's racing after it, racing up, down. All that matters to him is how much has he gathered. The Prophet made isti'adha away from this kind of a behavior. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri. Wala, I ask refuge with you. Don't make me be a person who is never sufficed. Nothing ever suffices him. As far as it is from the aspects of wealth, is ever craving and yearning money, 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 money. That at-takathur that Allah mentioned in Surah At-Takathur. Allahakum at-takathur. These are the people Allah is talking about. Alha, it becomes a means of distraction for them away from the religion. Alhaum, it distracts them away from the religion. What is that? At-takathuru, just piling up, mutually racing, then contest, race, pile up. So that race makes them become oblivious. In fact, it prevents them from salat. In fact, it prevents them from zakah. They'll be thinking that the money they should give in zakat, they should rather invest it in stock exchange. The money they should give Allah in zakah, they'll be thinking about it for stock exchange. So that takasur, the zeal and hirs ala jam'il mal, the race to gather wealth, Allahu and zikrillah, it prevents them from the religion of Allah, from remembering Allah. So hatta some people are like that, zurtumul maqabir, until they themselves will enter the grave. When they die, that is when their mind, the journey of course ends. No dead man races after money. So it is when they get into the grave that that race stops, that takasur stops, when they get into the grave. But this verse is also interpreted to mean that hatta zurtumul maqabir, when we go to visit graveyards, sometimes the reality of the death dawns on us, the reality of death, that we too shall die. So that one begins to make us stop, take a decision. But yet, when the people get back to the world again, they return to what they were upon. Allah said, Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. So this kind of a thing is what the Prophet is asking for refuge with Allah for. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri. Oh Allah, protect me from having a mind that is never sufficient. No contentment inside that mind. Wal killa. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal killati. Al-killatu is insufficient. A person has insufficiency. The scholars say, al-killatu fi abwab al-birri wa khisal al-khair. Al-killatu fi abwab al-birri. In terms of goodness, he has small things. After you remove khams salawat, he hardly can point to any good deed that he was doing. This is killa. Smallness. Littleness. Littleness of what? Littleness of good deeds. His good deeds are few. If you were stopped now, say five things you are doing for the sake of Allah, he can't count. Say, I used to pray. Pray five times daily. Many Muslims have children who are like this. When they ask these kinds of questions, they say, he prays five times daily. Five times daily is not the only injunction of the Quran. He prays five times daily. Okay, after that, what can you say from the deen that you do? This kind of fewness. So the CV is brief, one page. Say, do the CV of your deen, one page. But when they do the CVs of their attainments in this dunya, they write 100 pages. Go to LinkedIn, go and see their achievements. 100 pages. I was certificate in this, I was certified in this, I was certified in that. It is good for your dunya. But it is unfortunate if that is the only thing that you have paid attention to. Who certifies you that you can read the Quran correctly? Who certifies you that you can observe Salat correctly? All those things do not need to be done correctly. Who certifies you that, yes, this is the appropriate portion of Zakah you should remove? Who certifies you that, yes, you have performed your Hajj correctly? So, Ikhwa, Al-Killatu is someone has, in terms of good deeds, only a few things to mention. Only a few things to talk about. Only a few things to present before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sought refuge with Allah from that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-illa. O Allah, I ask your protection. Protect me from al-faqr. Protect me from poverty, wal-killa, and insufficiency. Al-killa is when the individual has qalilul khair, little good deeds. Fi abwab al-khair, in terms of good deeds, the CV is empty. But when he's counting his professional certifications, you see, the CV is long, volumes. So we want it to, those are the jobs that, but all those things will end once you die in this world. It will just end like that. They are not even things you can transfer to your children. All those CVs, all those qualifications, all those certifications, all those plaques they gave you. You are the best, this, best, that. You can't even transfer it to your children. The point here is, don't let it be that those are the only things you are pursuing. You have killer little good deeds. Little good deeds. So when they are tossing, you must say, yes. We don't see, say, I try to pray 5 times daily. After that, say, at least I know that I'm a Muslim. He knows that he's a Muslim, he prays 5 times daily. After that, this is killer. The Prophet sought refuge from Allah to be a person like this. When it comes to the matters of the deen, he has few things to mention. May Allah protect us from this kind of condition. Azilla too means to be lowly, to be a despised person. Wallah, don't make me a despised person, a person of demean, someone who does not matter, is unimportant. Allah, don't make me like that. The scholars say azilla too also has to do with mukhalafatu sunnah. Don't make me a demeaned person. A person who is truly demeaned, a person who is truly a disgraced individual, a person who is not important at all, is the person who is not upon the sunnah. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ju'ilat az-zillatu was-sadaru ala man khalafa amri, alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith was collected by Imam Ahmad. Abdullah ibn Umar reported it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taj'ilat az-zillatu was-saghar. Allah has preordained zilla, demean, disgrace, disrepute, never succeeding, never progressing in life, unimportant nature to be upon man khalafa, anyone who was told, this is my sunnah. Say no, he acts in the opposite. Abdullah ibn Umar said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that I will give a command and he will say, go in the opposite. The Prophet will give a command, alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Muslims, do this. Say, no, me, I can't do that. Did you not see the one who was eating with his left hand? And this is a pain. This is a misbehavior, let me call it. So clearly, ikhwa. That is common with many of us who think that we are elites, eating with our left hand. The one who was commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change it, he said, no, I can't change it. Khalafa amra rasulillah, fa ju'ilat alayhi zillatu was-sadar. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, change it, eat with your right. He said, me, I can't do that. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, you will not be able to do it. The hand became unuseful for the man. So, brothers, the one who is truly demeaned, the one who is truly in disgrace, the one who is truly unimportant, is the one who is upon acting against the sunnah. The one who is truly demeaned, the one who is truly unimportant, the one who is truly in shackles, are those ones who are in opposition to the sunnah. This is the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, ju'ilat az-zillatu was-saghar, az-zilla, disgrace has been used to cover up who? Man khalafa amri, the one who will contradict my orders, the one who will contradict my instructions, Allah has placed disgrace on him. Another group of people that Allah mentioned that there is disgrace on them, there is demean on them, despite the fact that they are horrible and wicked now. It is Bani Israel. Allah said, ضربت عليهم الذلة أينما ثقفوا. Wherever Banu Israel, wherever these Jews, wherever they go to, عليهم الذلة, they have demeaned, disgrace be upon them. It's a curse upon them. أينما ثقفوا, wherever they may have to say they are going to, Jews, disgrace set of people, those who refuse to follow Musa alayhi salam. Isa came, they rejected. Muhammad came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they declared enmity with him. Allah said, duribat alayhim zillatu aynama thuk, wherever they may be, duribat alayhim zillah, disgrace, demean is upon their face, even as they are oppressing and aggressing. You can see they look disgraced. They still feel disgraced. Their head is running about now, because Allah is publicly disgracing him by the day. Allah said, "Aynama, wherever they may go, if they fight a war, they'll be disgraced. Aynama, if they fight a war, they'll be put to shame." Allah said, "Illa bihablim min Allah wa hablim min al-nas." Unless Allah protects them from that disgrace, or that they have one superpower that is usurping the power and vetoing the rest of the countries. If not for this, one-to-one, they are a people of shame and disgrace. Jubana, cowards. Illa bihablim min Allah. Except as it was in the past, when Allah was fighting the wars for them. Remember that narration in Surah Al-Ma'idah with Musa alayhi salam, when Banu Israel were to fight the Amalek. Allah told them to go and fight that war. They were saying that they cannot fight. I will fight that war for you. You will win that war. Go. But in these kinds of situations, yes, they will gain victory. Or in the situations that they are in partnership with another people that say, don't worry, we'll fight the war for you. They will be helping them to deflect those missiles from those countries they are in wars with. But if they don't have an ally fighting and supporting for them, they are people of disgrace and demean. They are people of disgrace and demean. So these are circumstances, clear cut. Disgrace and demean is also mentioned regarding people, Muslims, who become very sinful. Disgrace is cover them up. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will seek refuge with Allah. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة. I think these are clear now. Well, I ask refuge with you, من الفقر, away from poverty, poverty of the mind, والقلة, insufficient good deeds, والذلة, disgrace, contradicting the sunnah, demean, being unimportant. Allah, protect me from these. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة وأعوذ بك أن أظلم أو أظلم. I also ask refuge with you, O Allah, أن أظلم, that I become an oppressor, that I am a cheating person, that I am the one oppressing people and cheating them. I am the one treating people unfairly. May Allah never make me be like that. Allah, don't ever make me be a person cheating people, treating them unfairly, transgressing against them. A'udhu bika an azlim. Don't make me a person who is upon zulm. He directs injustice and unfairness to people. Aw uzlam, don't also make me be treated unfairly. Don't make me be a person that people oppress. A'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. Azlima an akuna zalim, that I am the zalim. Allah, protect me. Wa an uzlama an akuna al-mazlum, that I am the mazloom. Allah, don't put me in situation where somebody is able to oppress me. Allah, don't put me in a situation where anyone is able to oppress me. So the dua is that the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-killati wal-zilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-killati wal-zilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والكلة والذلة وأعوذ بك أن أظلم أو أظلم. Very quickly we can go to the next hadith, hadith number 679. Here Imam Bukhari said رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن أبي بكر قال حدثنا معتمر عن ليث عن ثابت بن عجلان عن أبي عبد الرحمن عن أبي أمامة قال كنا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فدعا بدعاء كثير لا نحفظه فقلنا دعوت بدعاء لا نحفظه فقال سأنبئكم بشيء يجمع ذلك كله لكم اللهم إنا نسألك مما سألك نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ونستعيذك مما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله أو كما قال. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abi Bakrin. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakrin, he was Abu Abdullah al-Misri, from the scholars of this Muhammad ibn Abi Bakrin. He said hadathana Mu'tamir, that's Mu'tamir ibn Sulaiman, well known from the scholars of hadith. Mu'tamir ibn Sulaiman Abu Muhammad al-Basri. He is the one reporting from Layth. They just say Layth. There are two of them common like this. Al-Layth. Although sometimes he is also written as Layth. But that is referring to Al-Imam al-Layth. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri rahimahullah, scholars of Egypt. Here it is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, rahimahullah, full of worship, trustworthy in his ibadah, trustworthy in his deen, but not trustworthy in terms of ability to document and convey hadith. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, he is reporting from Thabit ibn Ajlan. It is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym from where the weakness in this hadith comes. So this isnad has some weakness in it. What does that mean? There's a weak reporter, someone who is known to make mistakes. Someone he has mistakes in his reports. How are those mistakes determined? The scholars of hadith will gather all the ahadith that person, every reporter of hadith. The scholars, they make sabr. The sabr is they gather all his hadith and they begin to make a comparative analysis between his reports and the reports of known reporters who are known to be reliable. For example, Malik. For example, Ash-Shafi'i. For example, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And people like them. So they gather those reports, begin to analyze them with the reports, with the standard reports of well-known standard reporters. And they are able to determine the extent of deviation. The science of hadith is a clear-cut science. Ikhwa. And that's why the biographies, the life, everything regarding every reporter is known. So you have big books of hadith like Tahdhib al-Kamal. It reports all these reporters. It occurs in 35 big volumes. big books of hadith reporters and their biographies. In fact, sometimes these weak reporters are gathered separately, like Al-Imam Ibn Adi, Abu Abdullah Idid in Al-Kamilu fi Du'afa. All these weak reporters. And those are hadith that upon which the rulings was based on the, this hadith indicates that this reporter is a weak reporter. This hadith indicates that this reporter contradicted other reliable reporters. Those kinds of reports occur in Al-Kamil fi Du'afa by Imam Ibn Adi Abu Abdullah. It's a clear-cut, well-known, well-followed-up, well-researched-based study that the scholars of hadith do. So Layth ibn Abi Sulaym is well known, and his reports are known. Here he is reporting from Thabit ibn Ajlan, and he is reporting from Abu Abdurrahman, Al-Qasim ibn Abdurrahman al-Shami. Abu Abdurrahman, he is Al-Qasim ibn Abdurrahman al-Shami. That is the Tabi'i of the Hadith, reporting from Abu Umama al-Bahili, radiyallahu anhu, that companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Umamata al-Bahili said, kunna inda al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Layth ibn Abi Sulaym with his isnad to Abu Umama said that kunna inda al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu. And this is very common with the companions. That's why they are called ashab, companions. They were always with him. They were not just students, talamis. They were ashab. They were always in the company of the teacher. And that's why even in amongst the scholars when they teach, there are some of the students who came to make mulazama. They came to remain and stay with the teacher. Wherever the teacher was, you see him. So a teacher, a sheikh, and ustaz, he can have talamin, but they also have ashab. Teachers have talamis, they have students, but they also have ashab. If you need anything about that sheikh, don't go to his talamis, go to his ashab. You get the best of results from ashab. Ashab are talamis who are in regular suhba, regular companionship. Sheikh is traveling, you are with him. Sheikh came back when they are with him. They sheikh came back. And even amongst these companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also have those ones that are closest to him, the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the likes of Umar, the likes of Abdullah ibn Umar, the likes of Uthman, the likes of Abu Bakr, Abu Huraira, always with him. The likes of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, always with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even amongst these companions, you find that there are some of them, they were nearer the Prophet than others, like Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and his wife radiallahu anha, Ummu Abdillah Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. So Abu Umama, he said, kunna inda nabi, we were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fada'a bi du'a in kathirin. So the Prophet made a lot of du'a. It was my first experience with a number of the scholars. The first day you meet them, they make a lengthy dua. One of the scholars, the first day I met him, after a lot of introductory messages and for almost 1 hour, wallahi, he started making dua. I almost told him, please stop, it's enough. He made dua, 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 made dua. Myself and a brother were there. He made dua, he made dua, he made dua, he made dua. Da'a bi dua in kathir. So it is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. An yadu al insanu bi dua in kathir. You sit down, you make dua, 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 you make dua. And the rest of the people will be saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Don't we, have we not read in all of these ahadith that if someone is to be making dua with all these dua, he will be sitting down for a long time making dua. There's a lot of things, there are a lot of things to ask from Allah. Did we not hear that Allah say, Was'alullaha min fadli? Ask Allah from the abundance that He has. Allah has abundance. You are now asking with 5 minutes. He has abundance. Take this analogy I want to give us, even though it's an analogy that can hardly happen. But take it that it can happen. They take you to CBN headquarters. I'm just saying, layman's analogy. But to make us understand, the entirety of the CBN building is filled up with US dollars. They say, pick what you want. Are you going to pick in 5 minutes? The CBN building filled up, six-story buildings, for example, filled up with US dollars. They say, pick what you want for as long as you want. Ikhwa, let us say, how do you feel? A six-story building filled with US dollars. You were brought there. Pick what you want for as long as you want. I'm sure from now till Salatul Zuhur, some brothers will still be there, still picking. Say, you have not finished yet, Biko. I have not finished. Ejo, Da Allah, I have not finished. And now the Lord of all that exists, Rabbul Alamin, He said, Was'alullaha min fadli. Ask Allah from the abundance, bigger than US dollars, bigger than the six-story buildings. Ask Allah, ask me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask. Was'alullaha. Ask Allah from the abundance that He has. People begin to spend 1 minute. When we say sit down, make dua, spend 1 minute, spend 2 minutes. You stood up and start going away. Ikhwa, sit down, make dua, ask Allah from abundance that He has with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Umama, as it's in this isnad from Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, he said that kunna inda Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fada'a bi du'a'in kathir. So the Prophet made a lot of dua, asking his Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this, protect me from this, protect me from this, protect me from this. La nahfazuhu. In fact, the dua were so long and much that we did not memorize. We wish we could have been memorizing, but we could not. Why? Likathratiha. Because the da'wah was much, a lot of dua. Fakulna. So when he finished, we said, Da'awta bi du'a'in la nahfazuhu. Messenger of Allah, you have made a lot of dua. We didn't memorize it. You can see their hirs ala hifzi ma kana yad'u bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had hirs. They had the interest. They had the zeal. They had the crave to hear and just be memorizing it. So that they too will be saying the way he was saying, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was reported of Anas ibn Malik that the much of what the Prophet will say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhabannar. The same thing was reported of Anas, that always he's making Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhabannar. So the companions, radiallahu anhum, whenever the Prophet was doing something, they wanted to do as he did, radiallahu anhum. That's why one of the aspects of preserving the sunnah with the companions was acting upon the sunnah. So three ways the companions were compiling the sunnah. Some of them, they wrote it down. Some of them, they memorized it. Some of them, as he was saying it, they too, they were doing it. So the sunnah was preserved in their actions. So they just start to ask him, Messenger, you said so many things. We didn't keep it. We didn't record it. We are much. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqal, he said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it's in this isnad from Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, he said, sa'unabbi'ukum bi shay'in yajma'u dhalika kullahu lakum. I will tell you something that will gather all those my dua. It will gather them for you. What is that? Allahumma inna nas'aluka mimma sa'alaka nabiyyuka Muhammadun. Allahumma inna nas'aluka mimma sa'alaka nabiyyuka Muhammadun. O Allah, inna nas'aluka. We are also asking you, mimma is mimma here. Yeah. It is not litab'itu. It is libayan al-jins. All those things Muhammad is asking, we are asking you to. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything the Prophet asks you, Allah, we are asking you to. Allahumma inna nas'aluka mimma sa'alaka nabiyyuka Muhammad. That's your Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Everything that he asks you, we're asking you to give us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنَسْتَعِيذُكَ مِمَّا اسْتَعَاذَكَ مِنْهُ نَبِيُّكَ مُحَمَّدٌ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Your Prophet Muhammad that you sent to us عليه الصلاة والسلام. نَسْتَعِيذُكَ مِمَّا اسْتَعَاذَكَ مِنْهُ نَبِيُّكَ. We ask your refuge from everything that he has asked your refuge from. If the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asks refuge for Fakr, we too we ask refuge for Fakr. Don't make us poor. Don't introduce poverty. The individual who is poor is the one who is poor with the faqr of the qalb. Don't make us people who are never sufficed with something. Nothing reaches us. Don't make us walkilla. Don't make us people with few acts of worship. Wazilla. Don't make us people who are always ever disgraced, always in demean. People look down upon them. In demean, in disgrace. Why? Because they are always acting upon this against the sunnah. They are acting in contradiction of the deen. So they are disgraced people. Wa'udhu bika an azlima. We also ask your refuge that we are unfair to people, or that people become uzlama, or that I am treated unfairly. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught his companions. Once you say that, Allahumma inna nas'aluka mimma sa'alaka nabiyyuka Muhammad. O Allah, I ask you all of what your servant Muhammad has asked you. Wa nasta'idhuka mimma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad. We also seek refuge from everything your messenger Muhammad has sought refuge from. Allahumma antal musta'an. Allahumma antal musta'an. O Allah, you are the one who is absolute helper, the one who is asked for help, absolutely helping. You help absolutely. Antal musta'an. You are the only one who is absolutely helping. Ikhwa, if people help you, sometimes they'll be tired of helping you. If people support you, they can be tired of supporting you. Sometimes their energy, their strength, their money may not be enough to support you. This is the reality of existence. Every other created being, their help and support has a limit too. The one whose help and support does not have limit is Rabbul Alamin. This is the meaning of Allahul Musta'an, Al Musta'an, the one who is absolutely helping and supporting is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma antal musta'an. This is dua uthanana, the dua of praising Allah. Allahumma antal musta'an wa alaykal balag. Attaining success. Achieving success, perfecting success, perfecting your desires, bringing your desires to where you actually want it to be. Sufficiency, it is your job. You are the one who grants that. Alayk al-balagh. If someone invites people to the religion of Allah, the one who actually brings the message to the understanding of the people is who? Allah. So that is why Al-Balagh will be understood to mean the one who brings things to perfection is who? Allah. Wala hawla. Ah, we now declare our weakness. Antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Allahumma antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Ikhwa, this expression is very powerful. Allahumma inna nas'aluka mimma sa'alaka nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nasta'idhuka mimma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma antal musta'an. Oh Allah, you are the absolute helper. You are the absolute supporter of anyone. Wa alayka al-balagh, that things attain their perfection. It is your job. You are the one who does it. No one else. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawl. There is no knowledge of how something can be achieved. No hawl, wala quwwa, no power. Subhanallah. Nobody has any idea or trick or plot or ability to bring something to fruition. Wala quwwa. Nobody has the power to make something become done or undone. Illa billah, except with you, Allah. So when something is done, it is with you. When it is not done, it is with you. When people are able to achieve their goals, it is with you, by you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your permission, your support, your help for them. Allahumma anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I think it is sufficient, bismillah, for us to stop here today. Allahumma anta al-musta'an وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. These are the dua that have been reported from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو عامر.
نعم شيخ من جزاك من أوسكار.
أمين وأنتم في جزاك من الله خير.
The first question reads: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حفظكم الله شيخ. What dua or dhikr can one do when one feels heavy-hearted, even after making ibadah?
Ikhwa, read the Quran. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Read Surah Al-Fatiha. Read Quran. One of the things that melts the heaviness in the mind is the Quran. If you do all of these and you still feel heaviness in the mind, take the sins. Take sins. If we do good deeds and commit sins, it's like fetching water into a basket. When you fetch water into a basket or a leaking drum, yes, the water goes into the drum, but it has leakage under it. So you have to properly achieve your result of getting water preserved, you have to check the leakage. So if you make ibadat and you still fall into iniquities, ikhwa, check the leakages. You might have been fetching water into a basket, or you might have been fetching water into a leaking drum. Check the leakages under. Check the leakages. Reading Quran, your mind is not feeling anything. Check the leakage. Something is happening. And the leakages usually come from the aspects of dhunub. Dhunub, ikhwa, dhunub, sins. They are the leakages in your life spiritually. They bring you down. Sins, dhunub, they bring you down. We studied this while we were studying how to make our dua efficacious. Your sins bring down your dua. So it is when the more you make this dua, you get yourself devoted and committed to Allah, get away from indecency. Otherwise, the similitude of you is the similitude of the one fetching water into a basket or fetching water into a leaking drum. You have to block the leakages and then fetch the water properly. Bismillah, you will have water to drink in this world and the hereafter. I hope that it is clear.
Naam, Sheikh, and Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen, wa Jazakumullah khair.
Next question here is concerning Salah. It reads, a scenario happened in a masjid during Salat al-Maghrib. After the third raka'ah, the Imam stood for the fourth raka'ah. Some people remained seated while some joined him at the fourth raka'ah. His attention was called by saying Subhanallah, but he completed the fourth raka'ah. After he made the taslim, he did sujood as-sahw and said he thought he omitted the first tashahud. The first question, what is the ruling for those who joined him on the fourth raka'ah? And secondly, those who remain seated.
If the Imam errs in Salatul Maghrib, which is a three-unit prayer, he stands up for the fourth raka'ah, for the fourth unit. If we are sure that the fourth is the fourth, then we should sit down and not follow him in that error. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen said, don't follow him to stand up on the fourth. When you shout Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and he's not coming back to sit down, don't go with him. Don't follow him. So from the statement of the ulama, those who didn't go with him are more appropriate. Don't stand up with him when it is clear to you that he's erring or that he's making sujood. He makes the first sujood, he sits down, he makes the second sujood. He wants to go on the third sujood. You say, Subhanallah, don't go with him to the third. Don't go with him to the third sujood. Don't forget this basic rule. Don't go along with him to the fourth or fifth raka, as the case may be, if it were a four-unit prayer like Dhuhr or Asr or Isha. So in Salatul Maghrib, after the third raka, the Imam stands up for a fourth. Do not stand up with him. Sit down. Now, if it happens that there were people doubting like him too, so when he stood up, they stood up. So they felt more inclined to the view of the Imam. That is their own salah. So you can see it can happen that the Jama'ah becomes divided into the two groups. Those who are certain, they should not stand up. And those who stood up with him, they are with the Imam in that era. So when they come back, the Imam ends and he makes his sajda to sahwi. And everybody should make the sajda to sahwi together with the Imam. And with that, their salat is okay. Their salat is right after the sajda to sahwi. The sajda to sahwi can come before taslim. It can also come after taslim. Either of the two that the Imam makes the salah is valid. And their error has been corrected, inshallah. I hope that that is clear.
There's another question related to uquq al-walidain. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Please, who has the right to name my first child, my father or me? I am confused because I was told it is a tradition that the grandfather should name the female child or the first child. I am not happy about it because they see it as I have disrespected my parents.
Ikhwa, the dealings between children and parents is a very dangerous one. I say dangerous one because someone can easily fall under Allah's anger with it. Something that can lead you to easily fall into under Allah's anger. Is it not dangerous? So when something is dangerous, you treat it with utter carefulness. That is another meaning for it being dangerous. Something that it requires you to be careful in it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ridha Allahi fi ridha al-walid. When your parent is pleased with you, you have Allah's being pleased with you. Wa sakhatu Allahi fi sakhati al-walid. When your walid is angry with you, Allah is angry with you. Now, there are a few things that if the parents are angry with us, you must follow what they want. The first one, mubahat, things that are mubah, things that are ordinarily allowed, but your parent becomes angry with it. Don't do that thing. It's allowed. You have a choice. Don't do that. In this case, it is allowed in the Sharia for the father to name the grandchild. It is allowed. Jais. That the father names the child is Jais. That the grandfather names the child is Jais. Yes, the father has a bigger right, but it is allowed for the grandfather or the great-grandfather to give a name. It's Jais. It is your Jews. So in a matter like this, don't offend your parents when it is lawful. But if it were that it is haram for your father to give that name, that is when you will not follow the father. If it is haram for your father to name your child, if it is haram for your grandfather to name your child, if it was haram, then you will not follow them. If it is not haram, you have a duty to follow them, not make them become happy. Don't make them become unhappy or displeased. Take this basic rule. Not to say if something is even encouraged in the Sunnah. If it is encouraged in the Sunnah and that's what your father wants, do it. It is a must for you to follow your father. If it is compulsory from the things of the religion, it becomes more compulsory on you. The times that we will not do what parents want is when their instruction is a clear-cut disobedience to Allah. You hear me say clear-cut. That disobedience to Allah will be clear. Because the scholars say even when it is shubha, still follow your father. The matter is not clear. Is it haram or halal? Still follow your father. But when it is clearly haram, that is when you don't follow them. Even the way you are going to not follow them should be honorable. You honorably not follow them. Parents are not the people to look at in the face and say you are claiming your right. If it is your right and it is lawful for them to do what they did, drop your rights and follow their lawfulness. Drop it and follow it. Because from the aspects of uququl walidain is to do something the parents are displeased with. Either ul walidain, bring harm to them. They see you, they are sad. They see that child, they are not happy. They see you, they are not happy. Why? You disobeyed us. And it is lawful for them to insist, this is what we want. Go and do this. So for the sake of Allah, we should take it easy with parents. And parents, I beg you in Allah's name, take it easy with your children. Sometimes we parents too, we insist to the end. Usually when parents insist to the end, especially if they are very knowledgeable people upon the religion of Allah, if that child contradicts them, it's not likely to, in the matters that is lawful for the parents to insist, it's not likely that it will end well. So parents, please be easy too. So if the parent is easy, then it will be easy for the child. May Allah protect us. Like I said, it's a dangerous area, dangerous for the child, this relationship with the parents. May Allah preserve our parents and forgive our own shortcomings.
Ameen, ameen. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Ameen, wa iyaakum. Can we call it a day, Abu Amir? Or you have Shaykh. One question? You want us to attend to before we go?
It's we are fine, sir. Jazakumullah khair.
Subhanakallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. ما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما بقيتنا، واجعلها الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا حي يا قيوم، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان، وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة، ونعوذ بك أن نظلم أو نظلم، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. مغفرة، جزاكم الله خيرا.